Stand, please. Thank you.
Immediately after our sermon, we will be having a live chat, if you want to call it, a virtual meeting with our missionaries who are in Harare. I encourage you to stay and do not run off, because some of us like to run off. It would be short. Please stay with us to watch this chat with Brother Kuti and his wife and Brother Desire and his wife. Mark chapter 4, we read, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. The whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, listen." Today we will consider the parable of the soils, the four soils. Jesus spoke about 40 parables, maybe more, in the New Testament. It was his method of teaching to convey spiritual truths to those who would hear, to those he gave ears to hear. Now, parables were to hide truths from the natural man. Natural man would not understand the spiritual truths of the Bible. You will contradict them. But for the believer, they will understand parables. The parable of the soils teaches about the character of people's hearts and their response to the Word of God. Each soil represents the various hearts hearing the Word of God. Invariably, we all in some way, in our hearts, will respond to the gospel. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 has a very sad assessment of the human heart. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." No one knows the full potential of the human heart. No one, not even I, know my heart. God says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." We should never trust our own hearts, brethren. The Bible says, "He that trusts his heart is a fool." The parable of the soils is given to show different hearts under the word, the message of the kingdom. But let me say, parables are not a New Testament method of presenting the gospel. There are many parables in the Old Testament as well. Daniel understood parables that he was able to share with Nebuchadnezzar. So it was Joseph who revealed God's word to Pharaoh. God gave Pharaoh a message he couldn't understand. Joseph says interpretations come from God. He proceeded to give Pharaoh the history of Egypt. You can read that in the book of Genesis. So these men understood parables. Samson understood parables. It's not a New Testament phenomenon. We read in Mark 4, 2, and 3, "Then he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his teaching," or his doctrine, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Oh, here, have you noticed that Jesus began his parable in a similar manner as Psalm 78? In Psalm 78, 1 and 2, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my word, the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. The words give ear means to take heed, pay attention, listen. After this, the words of the psalmist gives the history of the Old Testament. We just sang that history out. It's a parable. And the hymn writer grasps it and explains it to us. After Jesus said these words, he quoted from this psalm in Matthew 13, 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, the gospel. What is set before us, brethren, in Mark chapter 4 is a parable relating to the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom, and he uses the metaphor of a farmer sowing his seed, scattering his seed. The Lord's disciples didn't understand the spiritual dimension of the parable. They were slow to learn it, just like you and me. And this led him to ask them in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? In other words, everything I speak is a parable. Get into the habit of understanding spiritual truths. And this is a clue in understanding the Bible. You understand parables by comparing scripture with scripture. This is what I will do. Parable of the soils is really a good barometer for us in the church to check our hearts. See how our hearts are responding to the word of God. Each of us should check our hearts. Every congregation have these four kinds of individuals hearing the gospel. City View is no different. They're represented by four kinds of soils. Earth. We are made from the earth. They're not four kinds of Christians, as some say. They want to give comfort to the unsaved element in the church. There's only one kind of Christian. One who hears the word. One who responds in faith and obedience. And believe in the word. And bringing forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's only one kind. You go to Zimbabwe, as I pointed out to one of our brethren, I show him a tomato tree, tomato vine. I said, you see that tomato there? It looked just like the one in my yard in New York. Before entering into this parable, I chose to deal with this parable more extensively today. As we enter into this one, this parable of the soils, let me explain the chief ingredients of the Lord's parable carefully. First, the sower. Who is the sower? Well, he's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, or those sowing on his behalf. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God, whether it is preached, is successful in God's eyes. Once it is delivered faithfully, we are a savor of life unto life, and death unto death. And who's sufficient for these things? Any faithful gospel servant can be considered a sower. Second, in the parable, we have the seed. The seed is the word of God, as we are told in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. First Peter tells us, chapter 1, verse 23, that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Third, we have the soils, plural. The soil is the heart. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. The heart is the seat of man's emotions, his disposition, his will. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I don't know if you struggle at times with impure thoughts, sinful thoughts. You have to dismiss. You have to quote scripture. Philippians. Think of these things that are noble, that are just, that have good report. If there's any virtue in them, think of those things. In other words, if they're not like that, don't think about them. Each one of these four soils, brethren, four, renders a response to the seed. Prophet Hosea said to Israel in Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Whatever results seen from the seed is determined by the soil where the seed was sown. I only learned recently in Zimbabwe, you can't plant corn, maize, in any soil. It has to be a special soil. You can only plant beans in a special soil. If you plant them anywhere, they wouldn't sprout. So is the gospel. God is all wise. Whatever result seen from the seed is determined by the soil. The seed is normally sown in an environment such as ours today, here, the church. Whenever God's people meet for fellowship or worship, the seed is sown. The sower is actively involved in the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. I don't even have to worry. The sower is actively involved. So having then looked at a broad definition of the words Jesus used in this parable, and having seen his own exposition in Mark 4:13-25, in explaining the parable, there are four hearts that will respond to the word or the seed sown. One is the casual heart, verses 3 and 4. The Lord says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. I wouldn't even get into this, because birds are an ominous word in the scriptures. Vultures. I wouldn't broaden my exegesis to tell you what it means, but it is not good. But to the Jewish mind, they knew about a farmer who sows his seed The farmer usually has a sack around his waist with the grain or the barley in the sack as he scatters his seed. And some of the seed falls by the wayside, the footpath, and they're quickly gobbled up, quickly, by the fowls. The wayside, as I say, is a footpath where many people trod. The soil is beaten down. There's no germination of the seed by the wayside. The ground is unplowed, hardened. Therefore, the wayside hearer is like this, casual hearer of the gospel, not moved by the gospel claims. Pout at the gospel. No real attention is given. No urgency about the message about their souls. Do not understand that the devil is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Don't understand. Now you know who the birds are. The devil seeking to devour the seed. I told you it was ominous. No sooner is the word sown before the evil one snatches it away. Think of what we meditate on Sunday afternoons. Think of what we are engaged in the hallway and in the kitchen. Think of these things. The casual responder is not like the blessed man in Psalm 1, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's a casual hearer. He's a hearer, but he's casual with the word of God because his heart is casual. Casual one forgets the word that was sowed, will not ponder the word, will not assimilate the word. You're casual. Hearing the word is just a stroll in the park. The word is a hard saying. Wayside. It's what the prophet said to the casual hearers. The Old Testament book of Isaiah. And there's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us. It's consumed us because of our iniquity. Casual responder, the casual heart is not stirred by the word, not troubled by the word of God. Never moved to deep conviction. Thereby, they would say, what must I do to be saved? Never. Are you a casual heart person? Are you a casual hearer of the word? It's not good. You don't be casual with the gospel. You need to be serious about the gospel. There's an enemy seeking to rob us of digesting the word of God. The Bible says Mary kept those things and she pondered them in her heart. You search the scriptures for yourself as the Bereans did. You go home and search them. Do not be casual. Ask the Lord to give you a soft heart that you can respond. We're to take God's word to heart. The enemy is waiting to devour the word. Don't be a heart that is trampled down, kicked down. No termination. The prophet said, Ephraim is like a cake not turned. You know, when a cake not turned, it is burned to a crisp. But when you break it, it's raw inside, raw dough. God called his people a cake that was not turned. I don't pray this for anyone. We can be hardened by the same gospel we listen to. Point number two, the emotional heart, verse 5 and 6. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, withered away. Now these are important words that I would be here all day if I was to exegete every single one. The phrase stony ground is the condition of the natural heart of man without Jesus. As their Savior, the prophet said, that it is God who takes away the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36, 26. This hearer of the word displays emotion. Spring up quickly. May even show encouraging signs of interest. I've learned to keep a low profile when people make decisions. May last for a while, but because they're not grounded, they soon disappear off the scene. God may take away a child or a spouse. They're gone. Not grounded. The blazing heat of trials soon begin to quench the word, their emotions. The emotional heart or hearer of the word is superficial. Their confession of faith is not sustainable. We have them in our church. We have to treat them with care. You don't try to root out the tears. Let them grow together until the harvest. Their confession of faith doesn't last. Easy believism, decisionism soon vanishes. And some pastors have the audacity to say it. But he was saved in 1996, so he's still saved. The fact is, he was never saved. You told him he was saved. You didn't tell him what the Bible said. You didn't exegete this parable. You are at fault. Mark 4, 16 and 17 says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, emotion. They have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The King James says they are offended. The emotional hearer. They have no root in themselves refers to the one that is void of the Holy Spirit's presence. Jesus himself is the root. Isaiah tells us this. And then in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It's talking about Christ. He's the root. Here Isaiah typifies Christ as the root who brings rest to the sinner. Paul prayed for the Colossians in a similar manner. He said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him. He personalized Christ as the root and establish in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Above all things, you and I should not be careless with the gospel. We should not be emotional. God calls the gospel a treasure. We don't place a treasure on the countertop by the sink. We put it in a very safe place. If I come to your house, your expensive jewelry would not be on the counter in the kitchen. You have it in that chest that you, at times you can't even find it yourself.
Sometimes some of us hide things so carefully that we can't find them. And then we begin blaming everybody for stealing them. The treasure.
Just like that, brethren.
You have it a safe place. This is why the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Which cannot, that I wouldn't sin against thee. The careless heart may show signs of emotion also. Our Lord said, some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. And immediately sprang up because it had no deepness, not grounded, just surface profession. When the heat of trial come, fades away. That's the heart, emotional heart. Brethren, you'll see me next week, then you don't see them. Brethren, you'll see me for 2 weeks, then you don't see them for two more. What's wrong? Emotional heart. So in going through these soils of the parable of Jesus, they are likened to hearts that responds to the gospel. We see the casual one. The seed falls by the wayside, quickly devoured. We saw the emotional heart, or responder, excited, endure for a season, but gives way to hardship, to persecution, to loneliness, to these things, even to education. Give way. Is your heart like that? Could be. And then we have the carnal heart. This is the worst. Verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Zero fruit. This is the hardest one. Some teachers of the Bible seek to make these ones believers. If you are used to hearing that, you need to dismiss it right away. The text is quite clear, and yielded no crop. You know a Christian like that, that yielded no fruit, zero fruit? It's impossible. Thorns are associated with this cursed world. Thorns. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Thorns are also synonymous with unbelievers in the church. Hebrews 6, 7, and 8. For the earth which drinks in the rain that come often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. Can I be more clear than that? Sloppy exegesis of the Bible will produce carnal behavior. Here the writer of the Hebrews employs the same metaphor as our Lord in using the soil or the earth as an image of the heart of the person hearing the gospel. The soil brought forth thorns. Now, you know, sometimes if you plant a little garden in your backyard, the quickest thing that come up with your vegetables are thorns. You labor more to get the thorns out than to nurture the tomatoes. And this is how it is. You labor on the unconverted in the church. The believer is in a win-win situation. When you preach like this, he says, yeah, go on, go on. The
unbeliever is very uncomfortable.
You're rubbing him the wrong way.
You mean you're calling me thorns?
Yes, I am.
If you're fruitless, rejected, burned. The carnal responder or heart may seem to have also an interest in the Word of God, but is often sidetracked by expediency. Things of the world, no matter how glamorous they may look, are characterized by Jesus as thorns, thistles. The prophet said in Jeremiah 4, verses 3 and 4, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil in your doings." Jeremiah, he said some stiff words to God's people. Very hard words. You see, they were circumcised on their foreskin, but they were not circumcised in their hearts. And Jeremiah addressed the hypocrisy. The response to the seed of the sower is determined by the soil that the seed is sown upon. Response to the word of God will determine or will be determined by the heart of the one hearing God's word. I don't know your heart. You saw the casual heart, no urgency about their soul. You saw the emotional heart, not sustainable. Begins well, but prone to drifting. You saw the carnal heart, loves the world, the things in the world, gives way to the world. But wonderfully, Jesus directs us to a fourth kind of soil, fourth kind of heart, the converted heart, verses 8 and 9. That's the exposition, the converted heart. He says in verse 8, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increase, and produce. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And then he said in verse 9, "The one who has an ear to hear, let him hear." In other words, everybody isn't going to hear the parable. He's clear. But good ground, brethren, is not automatic. Don't think so. Don't think you can make yourself good. The ground must be plowed, fertilized, watered. God prepares our hearts to receive the word. But the one seeking God would use every means of preparation. Who are you concerned about? We'll be rushing ahead at the last minute. I spoke about it this morning. I speak about some who come here and they're breaking off their necks. It's dangerous. It's a reflection of our hearts. I know sometimes we are weary. Is this possible? But a pattern of that sleeping under the word, it's dangerous. But good ground is not automatic. Told in Acts 16, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. What made Lydia any different? Whose heart the Lord opened. That was the difference. Whose heart the Lord opened. God prepared the heart of Lydia
She was attentive to the gospel spoken by Paul. And this is the first sign of a converted heart, a prepared heart, a love for the gospel, a want to hear the gospel. Later on, Lydia had the church in her house. Goodness, a good heart, is not a native characteristic of fallen man. No, you know, you at times say, you know, I'm a good person. Well, how do you define good? Are you perfect? Well, if you are good, you should be perfect. It's not our native characteristic of fallen man. The Bible says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how God sees us. A good heart is a converted heart. A heart that God has changed. The Bible calls it the new birth. The seed that fell on good ground yielded fruit, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth. The Lord said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know, people do such evil. And they got the audacity to say, you are in our thoughts and prayers. Well, what nonsense are you talking about? You know what you're saying? I certainly wouldn't want you praying for me. What prayers you're talking about? Brethren, there are degrees of fruit that a converted heart will produce. Some 34, some 60, some 100. Every Christian cannot teach a Bible class. Neither can everyone organize an evangelistic crusade or go across the seas and teach a Bible club for 6 weeks. Everybody can't do that. But there are always ways that others will recognize a good tree. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Four soils, each represents the heart in the congregation, different hearts. I don't have to guess, I don't have to fudge, I don't have to force. Just lay it out there. Four kinds of hearts. In any given congregation, brethren, I list them out to you. Casual. Carnal. Converted. What's the other one? I don't even remember, but you know, you have your notes there. Curious. Now, I have shared this with you because I think we ought to understand what the Lord is saying to us in this parable. But I want to conclude because we want to give way to a few more minutes of this virtual meeting. In concluding, let me say this. One, Satan is actively present in every gospel proclamation. There are some churches, really, that all they're having is Satan. The church is overrun by Satan. There's no seed sown. The devil sits in the seat of the temple. Thessalonians. He rules the church. They may have women pastors. They may have, he just rules. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a bona fide congregation. But Satan is actively present in every gospel proclamation. This is seen in the seed that fell by the wayside. The casual heart is given to unpreparedness for the word. Thus, the enemy is presently active to render the word unimportant, unprofitable to the hearer. I alluded to fatigue. It's often a ploy of the enemy that causes one not to benefit from the seed sown. Another way the enemy works is by creating distractions in gospel delivery. It can be your very children that who is demanding their own way and their attention. They're sinners just like you. And they are a distraction when the gospel is preached. And that's why I say this, the sanctuary is not a playground for children to be running through. And deacons should see this and make this sanctuary conducive to the gospel. Not a tennis racket. Satan is actively present here in this church. Will defeat us. Can be anxiety over trivialities. The meal that we left on the stove, did I turn it off? Or the meal that I didn't prepare, what I'm going to cook. I got company. A distraction. These are ways the enemy devours the seed that is sown. We must be cognizant of these things when we come to worship. He's here. The Bible says, take no thought for these things. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But what did he say? But seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom, the word of God, and his righteousness. These things should be added. You see where Jesus put things? He put them secondary. These things will be added. So I want you to notice. You say, oh, I'm going to church. Yeah, you're coming to church. But Satan is very active in any gospel proclamation. He nudges us. Think of our minds. What we think about. Ever active in gospel delivery. He often engages the mind to think on those things which has no bearing on the message, the gospel. This is the careless heart. This is the seed sown by the wayside. That's the first application. The second is close. How malleable, flexible is your heart towards the word. Oh, how flexible are you? The difference between a stony heart and a flexible heart. Malleable. You know, they had this thing when I used to work at a hospital, they call them malleable. And so it was. It's something you take, like, when you bend it like this, like if you're doing, just, I guess, to say, you don't know what I'm talking about. When you're doing surgery in the stomach area, you would grab the stomach and bend it back with this malleable. Is flexible. Oh, yeah, that's a good name. But is your heart malleable? Do you have reservations? Some of you have reservations. When it comes to obedience to God's word, oh yeah, I'll come in the morning, but I gotta do my laundry in the evening. I give you the hearts. I gotta do some shopping. I hear they got some sales across the street. You sure? Is you sure that the word have fallen on good ground? Huh? I don't think so. You have reservations when it comes to obedience. Do you only obey that which is convenient? Then your obedience is disobedience. There's no such thing as partial obedience. Saul said, yeah, I did what you said, Samuel. But the only thing I brought back the king, what happened to him?
He was rejected. Disobedience is insubordination. That's what it is.
How malleable. We read of King Josiah's response to the word of God in 2 Kings 22. God said to him, because your heart was tender and you must humble yourself before the Lord, when you heard us, what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that there should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Broken heart, God will not despise. That's the heart God wants, broken and a contrite heart. Sorry for saying. Is your heart like that? A lot of people come to this church and try to take on the minister. Try to take him on, poor fella. Josiah, what made Josiah a great man is he was broken over the word of God and the behavior of his people. Go and inquire for me. And for this place, for we have not kept God's law, for great is the wrath of God. That's what Josiah said. He humbled himself. We're told that Jesus could not do many works in his hometown, except lay a hand on a few sick people. He marveled because of unbelief. Brethren, Satan is actively involved in gospel proclamation. How malleable is our heart towards God's word? Are we flexible? Are we ready to abandon that sin? Finally, let me say, there is no neutral response to God's word. There's no neutral response. They're not abstainers from the gospel message. You know, you're called to put up your hand and vote and you say, I abstain. You cannot abstain from the gospel. We are accountable. You and I can't abstain from taking from the gospel message. We are responsible. You can abstain from taking the vaccine, like some do, or from casting your ballot, you can abstain. But no one abstains from the gospel. We are accountable. You can't plead, God, I plead ignorant. I abstain. No. You're left to respond to God's word. Pray that God will give you that heart to respond. Like the last one. All the others, you can forget. The last one, some fell on good ground, brought forth fruit, degrees of fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. So may God bless you. Please stay, don't go. It's not the song by the Drifters. Please stay. Let's pray.
Amen.
We thank you for your help, O God, and we pray for this brief virtual meeting. We thank you for the technology. Thank you for our brother Offneil, and we thank you for the preparation. We know these men are eagerly waiting. We pray that you'll be with us in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.